Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a fabulous service department that oversees the life of your vehicle. Great pros. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ray Dittinger at 4:06 today, some big news coming up for him. And time now for the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day. We've come up with a sponsor for it, the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
Well, there's nothing to complain about the Sixers last night. That was stunningly magnificent. But I do have to start with West Virginia and Bob Huggins. I'm sorry. The guy should not have a job right now. I think it's sickening what he said, what he did. And this whole ring around the rosy of, oh, we'll cut $1 million. Oh, we'll suspend you for three games that are just non-conference games anyway next year. I just think the whole thing was completely mishandled. This guy should not have a job anymore because I wouldn't want him leading my kids, first of all. He brings in a guy in Tom Brenneman to practice to talk about accountability and this and that when the guy has shown no accountability whatsoever. I'm talking about Brenneman. And now, and y'all also should be fired, too, is those stinking Cincinnati radio hosts that I think egged them on a little bit if you go back and listen to the audio. There's a lot of wrong gone in this, and every single one of them should be fired for what they did because that's something you should never, ever joke about.
I agree.
And Bob Huggins has always been a curmudgeon, in my opinion, anyway. What has he done for this lately for this program other than bringing them to the tournament last year? Not really a whole lot. Well, I see no reason to keep him. And if you're only going to bring him back just this year, he doesn't deserve to have a goodbye tour, even if that. This guy deserves nothing anymore. Get rid of him. Done.
I'm not going to disagree with you about any of this. From the host to his take, the whole thing was just wrong all the way through. And I think that you do have to draw a line in the sand on such things. And the line they've drawn is docking him $1 million, so it's about 25% of his pay, three game suspension, which is, by the way, less than what Bill Self got with Kansas to start last season. And Bill Self didn't do that. And it's just, you know, you can't, and you also, to me, I mean, I have to do the show with the same standard I want to do the show. Same thing, you know, and you do the same thing. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you set yourself to a standard, you know, except when you get over emotional about any Philadelphia team in the Yankees.
Oh, my almighty!
I don't quite understand what the... But that's a different topic. Different topic, different day. Well, maybe we'll talk about it now. Doesn't matter. But, I don't want this to sound like a locker room. I don't want it to sound like the old guy network. or the old boys network, or whatever you want to call it. I don't want it to sound like that. You know, I want, now, we'll fool around and kid around, just like the sponsorship of your rant. You like that, didn't you?
I do, actually.
You actually like that.
I do.
Right. That's actually from an old comedy routine. That's where I stole that from. We used to air comedy routines on the morning show I did for 21 years, and that was one of them. And I always got a kick out of how clever I thought it was. So every once in a while I'll use it. But yeah, I mean, because it is a show. But you don't want to get into appealing to the lowest common denominator. How about that? And then that happens. And it's, I don't know. There's no place for that. That's my opinion. There's no place for that. So, and I don't call for people's jobs, as people know, and so forth, but there's no place for that and what happened. But it sounds like it's going to be docked a million, from 4.2 down to 3.2. And suspending for 3 games, and I think he has to also undergo counseling too, or something like that, which is always a standard with this.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm with you. So, as for, I only sort of watched the Sixer game with the Celtics last night because my good friend Gary Goloshevsky, they had a birthday party for him last night. So we were just mostly, everybody was just sitting around just talking and just laughing and having a good time. But the game was on in the background. And I'll tell you the two things I noticed just from afar, and again it was from afar, was it looked like Embiid was unstoppable. And number two, the Celtics got it to 9 at halftime, and they could not get any closer in the second half. I mean, the Sixers always had themselves a really good margin to work with. A really good margin to work with. And I thought that was impressive all the way through. So, hey, I mean, they earned it. They've got a real chance now here at home to win it. And we talk about Al Horford, who's done a really good job on Embiid. Last night, Al Horford had... Al played to his age last night. How about that?
Especially offensively.
Yeah, but that's going to happen. You know, that's going to happen. I mean, let's face it. I mean, for the most part, who's outplayed who in the series? Horford's been better than Embiid in the series, and then last night Embiid crushed him. But until that point, you're telling me that Embiid was better than Horford?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah.
Right. You know, Horford's a pro's pro. And he is a pro's pro. That's what I've always admired about him. Because I've always just looked at him as a guy that really went about his business, played well, understood how to play the game. It's not the star. All right. But last night, you know, one of the top five players in the game played like one of the top five players in the game last night. And that's hard to stop. When one of the top five players in the game plays like that, that's hard to stop. Anybody. I don't care who he's playing. I mean, Anthony Davis is a really terrific defensive big man. Right? Anthony Davis couldn't have stopped him last night. So, I mean, that's my opinion. I don't think Anthony Davis could have stopped him last night. And Davis is a terrific defensive player. I know people don't see enough of the Lakers because of being out on the West Coast, late games, and so forth. But, you know, you watch Davis play defense. Davis is a terrific defender. He could not have stopped Embiid last night. And that was just, again, observations, kind of casually glancing over. Because, I mean, we were in the kitchen. We went outside for a little bit. Then we came back and we were in the kitchen. They have a side room that had a TV on. So we all kind of glanced over. And most of the people there were Sixer fans anyway. So they were glancing over from time to time saying, hey, wow, this is pretty good. Wow, this is pretty good, you know. And it was. I mean, it was just really impressive. Really impressive. And as I said about the Celtics, I said in November, December, and January, the Celtics were terrific. In fact, the Sixers in November, December, and January would have had no shot. In fact, it probably would have been a five-game series, maybe, in those 3 months. But since February 1, the Celtics have been no better than an okay team. And so I'm not surprised the Sixers are in this spot. The Sixers have been the better team since February 1st. All right. And Denver won last night as well. So, and Denver's up 3-2, and they go to Phoenix. So, that is the story there. Now, the Eagles are going to play the Giants on Christmas Day. And once again, I say they should bring back Santa Claus and combine it with Dollar Dog Day.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Another big night for the Phillies. I think that's going to be the last Dollar Dog Night. They did it again. You hear about that?
I didn't, actually.
Yes, they did it again.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And what's interesting is how this all started. Remember how it all started? It all started actually nice. One of the guys was trying to be Joey Chestnut and see how many of the dollar dogs he could eat. And so people then with their dogs started throwing them up to him to give him more hot dogs to eat. And then they started throwing it at each other, and then it became a mess. Just certain cities you can't do certain things in. That's the way it goes. The Black Friday game is going to be the Jets and the Dolphins. And not only that, it's going to be free on Amazon Prime. So you won't have to subscribe to Amazon Prime on Black Friday to watch that game. And that it'll be an opportunity to get Aaron Rodgers on national TV in a divisional game against the Dolphins. The other element to that will be Al Michaels had a great comment. He said, something tells me we're going to be selling a lot of product that day on Amazon. The European games are set. The Jaguars are going to play two games there. They were supposed to play two games there in 2020, but those games were moved to Jacksonville because of the pandemic. So they're going to play two games there. One with the home team and one with the road team. And schedule-wise, it works out great for Jacksonville because they're going to host the Falcons at Wembley Stadium on the 1st of October, stay there, and then play the Bills as the road team in London at Tottenham. Then on the 15th, they'll stay at Tottenham with the Ravens and the Titans. The 5th will start the two games in Frankfurt. It's the Dolphins and the Chiefs, so Tyreek Hill's first game against Kansas City. And then on the 12th of November will be the Colts and the Patriots. And, of course, you notice that all the teams giving up home games are all AFC teams because they're the ones that have the 9th home game this year. The only NFC team that is involved in these International Series games for this one are the Atlanta Falcons. That's it. Everybody else an AFC team.
This whole international schedule is part two of my rant today. I have two major problems with this.
Okay.
Which we can do before or after the break.
Oh, that's fine. We can do it after. Okay. Only because of time.
Yes. Yeah.
Giants and Eagles will play. I mentioned Christmas. The Bengals and the Chiefs are on CBS on New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve this year is a Sunday. So, okay. The full schedule will be leaked by this time tomorrow, and then they'll just do a show around it at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. But we'll have the whole thing leaked to us by tomorrow at this time.
Exactly.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right, here comes the Rampart 2.
Well, this has to deal with the schedule. Two things. One, I think it's an absolute disgrace that the Jaguars have to play in London on back-to-back weeks. I know they're the Jaguars. I know we just seem to just throw them over there every single year. Maybe they'll eventually become the London Jaguars, which would also be dumb. But I've already said this before. I hate these international games. I think they're the stupidest thing on the face of the planet for the NFL to do. But to make an NFL team, any NFL team, do that for 2 weeks in a row, I just think is an absolute disgrace. I mean, you talk about a total change of habit for them and schedule. You got to deal with the time shift. You got to play at two different stadiums. I just think the whole thing is dumb to do that to an NFL team for 2 weeks.
Well, actually, Matt, it actually works out for Jacksonville. In other words, they don't have to. They'll travel over and actually they'll stay, and they won't. You know, in other words, they won't be struck by time changes or anything like that. They'll just stay there.
I know. I just think it's hard to do for 2 weeks. Going over there for one game is one thing, but to actually have to physically stay over there overseas, who knows what their each individual player, coach, or family situation is going to be like. I mean, I just think that's asking a lot of a franchise to stay over for 2 weeks overseas. I mean, that's just me. And again, for what reason? We're going to get fans that'll come in that'll care about the NFL in the UK for a couple of times a year, and then we'll go back to watching soccer the rest of the year. Sure, there's other Americans that are stationed overseas that will still watch the NFL 24/7 like we do here in the US. But you can't tell me a majority of those fans actually care about the NFL over soccer. Even though if they come to one game or two during the season.
I'm with you. I'm not big on the international games. And guess what? You know, this is an American game for American fans and American stadiums who pay to watch their teams. I'd rather they kept it here.
And Dolphins Chiefs being overseas is also a disgrace because that's a big game that would be terrific for Kansas City to have, and they're not going to get it.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. They do great work. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Penn State basketball has added another transfer. And look, this is the route they have to take in this particular year. And this will be a one and done. Raquandus Mitchell from UMKC will be joining us, University of Missouri, Kansas City. Look, I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of players during the course of all this that I have seen play. Some of them I've seen play in person. This is one all I can do is tell you what I read about him. I've never seen him play. But he led the Ruse with 17.3 points a game. He also had nearly 4 rebounds a game, 1.6 assists per game. He was second team All Summit League. He had 29 double-figure games and 9 20-point games last year with UMKC. He ranked in the top 10 in the Summit League in free throws made, three-pointers made. He was fourth in minutes, fifth in points per game, fifth in free throw percentage, seventh in field goal percentage as well. And he started all 32 games last season for UMKC. This gives them 9. You're allowed 13 scholarships. This gives them 9. Now, Raquandus Mitchell, Ray Q, is very well-traveled. He's out of Blaine, Minnesota. During the course of his career, he has played in junior college. He has played at Idaho. He has played at Illinois, Chicago. And has also played at, obviously, UMKC.
Okay.
So that is a... Yeah. It's, and we all know that, you know, this is just the way of the world these days. When, as time goes, I think what you'll get a better read on Mike Rhodes, when you see what they do in the early signing period in November. Because he has traditionally been somebody that's tried to get as many long-term solutions as possible that he signs and his staff develops. This is completely different. He walks in and says, I need players. And they've now been able to keep 3, Jameel Brown, Kanye Clary, Demetrius Lilly, and they've now added, I believe that gives them 6 now. So that would get them to 9. That should be 6 transfers that are in based on my count. Hopefully that's right. But, Mitchell can go inside out as a 6'5 guard. He can play point, by the way. I mean, so in other words, so can Kanye. So it's, I think this is, you're looking at Raquandus Mitchell being more of an off guard, but it gives you that second ball handler out there that is, quote, used to handling the ball, and that's important. So that's what they have on the recruiting trail. So that's the next one. And then the Penn State football transfers, I'll do the full rundown on Monday, but one is graduating tomorrow and will be on campus this weekend and start up on Monday. One is already on campus, has been working out here since Sunday. And the other one, the three primary transfers they're getting that they haven't announced yet. The other one is going to also show up this weekend, and he's going to be in class on Monday as well. Okay? And we'll give you all the names and so forth. There's some freshmen that are coming in too, like London Montgomery, Cameron Wallace. They're both coming in on this weekend, and they're starting class on Monday, as a matter of fact. And Andrew Rapaport is also the tight end, is coming in, and he's going to start class on Monday. There are also defensive players that are starting class on Monday as well. Dakari Nelson, I mean, you want to talk about being on a central casting. I mean, talking to him, he was at one of the, you know, a couple of the spring practices. Well, he looks like a safety. Kavion Keys and defensive tackle Tyreek Blanding are all starting classes on Monday, too, along with Rapalier, Montgomery, and Wallace, okay? So that's how that's going to work. Just to let everybody know. So there you go. Ray Dittinger in the next half hour. Your team is going to be playing on Christmas Day against the Giants. A bad combination. We all know that Philadelphia and Christmas, based on the past, does not mix.
Well, things worked out pretty well in 2017 when they hosted the Raiders. The team itself didn't play great that day, but they still won, and there were no incidents in the stands as far as I can remember.
Okay, if you recall, isn't your team the one that had to put a cord in?
Oh, at the vet years ago. That's not at the link now.
I mean, it tells you everything. It tells you everything. Santa Claus, not safe. Got a courthouse, not safe. And then across the parking lot, Dollar Dog Day, not safe.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Well, that leads me to this. Now I'm not condoning the hot dog throwing at all. Let's just start there.
I'm just joking. Okay.
No, but here's the thing that I think is a total violation at sporting events, and this is why you saw the throwing of the hot dogs last night. I guess was when fans do the wave in the middle of a game. I'm sorry, wave is for concerts or any other types of those events. Sports, no. You're there to watch the game and not disturb anybody trying to watch the game.
All right. Okay. But, Matt, you want to dictate... Okay. First of all, there's nothing destructive about the behavior. Okay. So you want to dictate non-destructive fun?
It's not that I want to dictate it. It's just I don't think it's appropriate for a game.
Oh, I mean, I'm doing games at Beaver Stadium, and they do the wave. Yeah. I have a little fun with it when they go around, because Ron Moeller will be up in the booth and goes, "Hey, Ron, up and down." There we go. Okay, Ron's always a follower. He's never, you know, and Jack, it makes Jack laugh every time. I said, "Ron's always a follower, never a leader." You're just having fun with it, okay? And they do it at Beaver Stadium. They're just having fun.
I don't know. I just find... Maybe it's just me. I just find it distracting during the game.
I mean... I'm just telling you.
I guess if you do it, like, during a TV timeout or something like... Or a timeout, something like that, I guess that's fine. But in the middle of the game, no.
Okay. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with people having a good time, and it's not destructive.
There are worse things, no question, but I just don't like it in the middle of game action. If it's a timeout, I guess that's fine.
What do you think about singing Sweet Caroline?
Well, that's fine, because that creates the atmosphere because you're reacting to what's happening in the game.
Okay.
Like the Red Sox do.
Yeah, I mean, the eighth inning, that's their eighth inning thing.
It's like the seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game. Yeah, that's tradition.
Yeah, okay.
Of course you got to do those things.
So if they do it the wave, you become angry.
It's not to become angry. It's more like a slight annoyance.
Okay. I mean, look, I mean, when I go to the game, I go to watch the game.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't care about participating. You know, when I buy tickets to a game, I don't care if it's a Phillies game, a Pirates game, Red Sox, whatever it may be, okay? Or, you know, any other game. Let's face it, I haven't really bought a lot of tickets to sporting events in recent years because 90-plus percent of the time I'm working. But when I've gone and I've done that, you know, I always just go to watch the game. Like, my son and I get a couple tickets, you know, through a friend, and we sit behind the visitor's dugout at Fenway, and the two of us like to, you know, watch the game, get up, get a little bite to eat, bring it back to the seats, get, you know, beverage, sit down, watch the game, you know, just talk and the whole thing. You know, I mean, the wave goes around. I don't even know if the two of us participate, to be honest with you. You know, it's just, but it doesn't bother me when they do it. You know, if they want to do the wave, I don't care. They can do that. You know, I'm there to watch the game, but I don't mind when people just want to have a good time. I don't want to legislate fun. Now, throwing hot dogs at each other, okay, I don't consider that fun. I think that's juvenile.
Yes, no question.
Okay, so that part I'm not into. Booing Santa Claus? Come on, that's S. Claus, man. Come on. You can't boo S. Claus. You can't.
No, it was a violation then, and it's always going to be a violation to boo Santa Claus.
Yeah, and guess what? He was a no-show at the game in 2017. They were afraid. He was afraid to come back.
No, I actually saw many Santa Clauses there.
He was a no-show.
I'll have to go back and look up the broadcast, but I thought I saw a few Santa Clauses there at the link.
Gone. No-show. Refused to go. Right? Bad memories. Right? Sacks of coal sitting in the parking lot. I'm not going to go in there. What, are you kidding me? Come on, man. All right. So Hunter Dickinson today talked about his move from Michigan to Kansas. And, you know, I already talked about Rekondis Mitchell transferring to Penn State for his final season. And look, Hunter Dickinson was one of the more high-profile guys. So he taught, and this is something, I've mentioned this briefly before, I've only touched on it, that a lot of people think Michigan is rolling in NIL money. And I've heard to the contrary that, yeah, there's some NIL money, but it's not what people assume it is. Well, he's talking about being at Michigan. And he did this on his own Round Ball podcast. He said, the people hating on me would leave their job for a $10,000 increase. I got at Michigan less than six figures. I got less than six figures at Michigan for the year. Okay. I think people assumed that he got more, but okay, so he got less than six figures. He said he made a, quote, selfish decision. Okay, I respect that. Dickinson said that his time, that he still has an appreciation for his time at Michigan, but at times last season, it sucked because we lost. And, of course, when they came here, what did they lose, by 32 here? That, what, January 29th game? I think Penn State won by 32. And he played. Dickinson, of course, did receive criticism from Michigan fans for his brash personality. He wore a ski mask to a Wisconsin game last season, a day after Michigan State had a mass shooting, a move that angered Michigan officials. Dickinson reportedly said he wore the ski mask because he wanted to, quote, steal a win against the Badgers. I can tell you in talking to the people at Wisconsin, they are not fans. Okay. They never have been. Dickinson said, quote, I still love Michigan. I still love the school and everything. I love the program. That's why it was so hard to leave, because I really didn't want to leave. I didn't. But I just felt like it was the best decision for me. It took a lot of courage. What? Courage.
Seems like he put a bunch of that on himself.
Courage? Okay. Courage is saving somebody from danger. That's courage. I've had, and all of you out there, have either had family or friends who have gone through something that has been horrific, and you've admired the courage with which they've attacked it. There's somebody that worked in radio here, and he had a lot of treatments over at Geisinger, named Pat Boland. Cancer. Positive attitude every day. The courage he showed over and over again. Eventually, it took his life. That's courage. Saving somebody from a tough situation, that's courage. Transferring to Kansas doesn't take courage. Sorry. It just doesn't. It's the wrong word to use. I don't think people realize how much courage it took for a guy who was there for 3 years, an All-American for the team. I have a legacy there. And I basically gave that up to try to be selfish, okay? And that's what's best for me in my career, not for anybody else's career. And he said he called Kentucky a risk, but said that John Calipari's reputation of sending big men to the NBA was a factor. That's why he considered them. At Villanova, he said he loved the playing style and the family approach to the program. Maryland would have been homecoming for him after growing up in D.C., but Kansas, he said, felt like it was his best option. It checked all the boxes, probably including one gigantic one, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
I mean, come on. We all know. Oof, mercy. I agree with him about, look, it's a selfish decision. I mean, and I think that shows something, that he's willing to at least come out and say that, right? I have no problem with that. That he came out and said it. That's fine. But the part about it took courage for me to leave. What, courage? What, to put your name in the transfer portal and say adios? I'm sorry. These days in college, he had to sit out a year? Okay. But they've got, Jet Howard, Kobe Bufkin, they're both in the NBA draft. Dickinson's gone to Kansas. Joey Baker petitioned to come back for one final year. It was denied by the NCAA. Isaiah Barnes and Greg Glenn all transferred. They're not sure about Jalen Llewellyn yet. So what they have left at Michigan would be Doug McDaniel, Terrence Williams, Will Cheddar, Jace Howard, Yusuf Kayet, and Terrace Reed. And then they have some freshmen. Well, they have Caleb Love's transferring in from North Carolina. I don't know. It's interesting. So, there you are. And Penn State now is what, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, this is the 7th transfer Penn State has. So that gives them 10 now. They have 3 more spots. Ace Baldwin, Nick Kern, Zach Hicks, Kudus Wahab, Puff Johnson, Leo O'Boyle, and now Raquandus Mitchell. There. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ray Dittinger, next half hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Ray Dittinger in the next half hour. Tommy and me. Big star coming in to play Tommy McDonald. Meanwhile, Matt will play young Ray. No?
I feel like I could pull off the role. I've done plenty of theater in my lifetime.
I was going to ask if you've ever acted before.
I have been in over 30 musical productions and operas.
Well, I'll tell you, acting ability pays off when you're sitting at the staff meetings.
And multitasking.
Hey. Hey. What are you doing here? I'm acting like I'm interested. That's called acting.